Good morning to each of you. Welcome to worship this morning at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. We welcome those of you who are sitting here looking at each other's shining faces, and also those who will listen to this service by various means. On this second Sunday of Advent, we gather together to worship and join, as Chet reminded us last week, the wider church in this very important beginning of the church year, this series of worship in which we prepare for the coming of Jesus. Let's stand and sing together hymnal number 174. The images of these first two Sundays are not gentle images. The new shoot from the stump is something that is dead, is something that is broken off, and yet new life comes from it. That was our image last Sunday. The image for this Sunday is refining, refiner's fire. Again, not a gentle image, but we come to worship to be changed. And so let us enter in that spirit as we listen to these words from Malachi 3, 1 to 4. The Lord says, I will send my messenger to prepare the way for me. The messenger you long to see will come and proclaim my covenant.
Dice el Señor, miren, presten atención. Yo envío a mi mensajero y él preparará el camino. El mensajero del pacto a quien buscan con tanto entusiasmo, sin duda, vendrá.
He is like a refiner's fire. And like fuller's soap, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver.
Pues él será como un fuego abrasador que refina el metal, o como un jabón fuerte que blanquea la ropa.
Then people will bring offerings acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years.
Nuevamente el Señor recibirá las ofrendas de su pueblo, de Judá y de Jerusalén. Se los llevarán, como lo hizo en el pasado.
We're going to sing, Come, Light of the World, New Life from the Stump, and Come, Refine Our Way. Turn in your hymnals to number 151. 151. And let's stand, those who are able. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Let's turn to sing the story number 6, Save Us, O Lord.
I have not been a refiner of fine metals. My closest experience to that is as a jack of all trades farmer. And in fixing equipment, and much of my equipment often needs attention, I must bring fire to bear. It's, again, not a gentle process. Often the only thing that will free a part of machinery or make it possible to be used again is heat, an intense heat. I am still learning to do this. It is a fearsome process, and the first time I used the torch that I bought to do this, My son Daniel was with me, and I think he was horrified because I did get what I needed to have done, but in the process destroyed a lot else with this fire. I'm still learning. I am better. But when I need help with a piece, when I'm not sure how much heat to bring to bear, when it seems too much, I take it to someone whom I trust to handle this power. And this Amish bishop, Smith, friend of mine, blacksmith, is able to bring heat to bear on these parts. And he tells me that what happens is not that the metal somehow expands or and so things become loose, but rather that the rust that is there binding it, the corruption that has become a part of this frozen machinery, is refined away with this heat. The rust is broken loose and dissolved, and so that what is left then is the metal only, and it becomes free again to move. Its purpose is restored. I still cringe even when he is working, because this fire makes the metal red hot. It is a fearsome and fearful process. But in the hands of someone who is experienced, of one who can be trusted, the results are restoration. So I invite you to join me in coming to the one who can be trusted with this power to refine our lives. Come indeed to the three in one who can be trusted. Let us bring ourselves in guided meditation. I will say some words to guide us, and you will be able to fit that to your own life, to your own experience. We will appeal to God. We will appeal to Jesus. We will appeal to the Holy Spirit. Each time as we transition, you will hear me say, come, and you will then know that it's time to say, refine our way. So there will be, I will lead us. There will be some time of silent reflection. I will then say, come, and you will say, refine our way. Let's join together in repentance. Lord God, your ways are not our ways. We need not look far to the goings-on in the world, to the goings-on in our lives, to know this. What in our life, what in my life, what in each of our lives needs to be brought for refinement? What are the spears that need to be bent into pruning hooks? The anxieties of our lives, the fears that cause us to choose ways of violence rather than ways that bring life to all. Come, Lord God, refine our way. Jesus the Baptist spoke of you as one who baptized with fire, will burn away the chaff and the waste and leave only what is necessary. What is the chaff in my life? What are the relationships that I need to attend to or to leave behind? What are the activities, the thoughts? That occupy space and energy, but do not bring life to me. Come, Jesus, refine our way. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, we sometimes become weary in our world, apathetic, overwhelmed, our passion sapped from us. What is it that needs to be rekindled in my life? What purpose renewed? What fire lit again in my heart? Come, Holy Spirit, refine our way. Brothers and sisters, please stand to receive words of assurance. God is trustworthy, is able to refine your lives, our lives. Be confident that the work, the good work that has begun in you will come to completion, will come to peace, to shalom, not peace as the world gives, but peace as Christ gives. Offer then to each other the greeting, the word of hope, the word of encouragement, the word of deliverance, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "And also with you." Let's greet each other. As you return to your seats, after greeting one another, I would invite those who are having birthday or other things to celebrate this month to come to the front and be and receive the blessing. Anyone in December?
All right. Is it on? Okay. Now it is. All right. Do we have any special years that need to be mentioned today? No? No special ones. Well, I invite you all to raise your hands and bless these dear people. Dear God, thank you for these wonderful people standing in front of us. Thank you for the blessing that they have been to us this past year. We thank you that you were with them, gave them many joys, helped them through their hard times and disappointments, helped them in making decisions that they needed to make. And now for this next year, dear God, may you be with them in pain, help them in decisions they make, bless them with many joys, and most of all, may they live a life that will draw others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Children, please come. Pastor Carolyn would like to speak with you a moment.
I'm going to pass the basket for our offering. Our children's offering this quarter goes to Ecuador. And just to let the big people know, last week Mrs. Crable helped us learn more about Ecuador, and we got to try some Ecuadorian food that she cooked for us. And some of our older children were so excited about doing that. There might be a time soon when we can maybe prepare something and bring it, share it with you during fellowship time. So when we take up offering later, if little people want to help collect coins for children's offering, you can come up here and get one of the cans at that time when the ushers are taking offering, and you can help too. So look at this picture up here. This is a strange image to try to explain to little people. Refine our way. So did you hear Mr. H talked about how metal sometimes is made purer and better with fire? And when God is helping us take out the things of us that aren't so loving, it can be kind of like that. So the nearest thing I thought of that you might have experienced is, do you know if you have a cut or a scrape, and you go into your mom or your grandparent and they clean it out and it really hurts. They say, oh, it's really going to make it better. But they pour that stuff on it and, oh, it stings. Or did your mom ever try to wash your face and you say, Mom, you're going to rub my ears off. Gosh, you're scrubbing so hard. God's love can be gentle, but God's love can also be powerful and strong like fire. Let's pray together. God, you made each one of these children and their parents, and we thank you and bless you for that. in times when you are refining the things in the hearts of our children and our grown-ups, help us know that what may be temporarily painful can bring great joy and love. Amen. Thank you.
The first scripture this morning is from Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years.
Malaquías 3, del 1 al 4. El Señor de los ejércitos ha dicho: He aquí yo envío mi mensajero, el cual me preparará el camino. El Señor a quien ustedes buscan vendrá de manera repentina, lo mismo que el ángel del pacto, en quien ustedes se complacen. Sí, ya viene. El Señor de los ejércitos lo ha dicho. Pero ¿quién podrá resistir cuando Él se presente? ¿Quién podrá mantenerse de pie cuando Él se manifieste? Él es como un fuego purificador, como el jabón de lavanderos. Se sentará para refinar y limpiar la plata. Es decir, limpiará y refinará a los hijos de Leví como se refinan el oro y la plata, para que ellos le presenten al Señor las ofrendas justas. Entonces, las ofrendas de Judá y de Jerusalén volverán a ser gratas al Señor, como lo fueron en el pasado, en los años antiguos.
And from the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, 68 to 79. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. He has spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us.
Del Nuevo Testamento, el Evangelio de Lucas, capítulo 1, versículos 68 al 79. Bendito sea el Señor, Dios de Israel, porque ha venido a redimir a su pueblo. Nos ha levantado un poderoso Salvador en la casa de David, su siervo, tal y como lo anunció en el pasado por medio de sus santos profetas. Salvación de nuestros enemigos y del poder de los que nos ofenden.
Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days.
mostró su misericordia a nuestros padres y se acordó de su santo pacto, de su juramento a nuestro padre Abraham. Prometió que nos concedería ser liberados de nuestros enemigos para poder servirles sin temor, en santidad y en justicia, todos nuestros días delante de Él.
And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Y a ti, niño, te llamarán profeta del Altísimo, porque irás precediendo al Señor para preparar sus caminos. Darás a conocer a su pueblo la salvación y el perdón de sus pecados. Darás a conocer a su pueblo la salvación por la entrañable misericordia de nuestro Dios. La aurora nos visitó desde lo alto para alumbrar a los que viven en tinieblas y en medio de sombras de muerte, para encaminarnos por la senda de la paz.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this morning is not a stranger, though many of us have not seen him for some time. We are very pleased to welcome back our Pastor Nelson to this pulpit, and call him now to, here he is. See, he sneaks up on you. Let's join together in praying for Nelson. Lord God, we are grateful to be here this morning. We are grateful that Nelson is back among us this morning to speak the words that you have given him. Be pleased now to use him to speak the truth to us, that we might be refined and changed, we pray.
Espíritu Santo, toma posesión de tu Hijo. Háblanos a través de Él y abre nuestros oídos y corazones para recibir tu palabra. Amén.
Amén.
I greet you in the name of Jesus, who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I am very happy to be back at Prairie Street. I come with a heart full of gratitude for a marvelous sabbatical, gratitude to the congregation for making that sabbatical time possible, gratitude for safety, for being able to travel several weeks with Ellen, which was a delight for us and good thing for our relationship. And grateful for the strength of this congregation, which is not dependent on any single leader. But there's many people in leadership here, and the congregation looks stronger to me today than when I left. Praise God. God is good. So to be back with you and learning with you is marvelous. Advent is a time when we prepare for God in our lives. It's a time to repent, It's a time to change. It's a time to anticipate healing. In a world that is now again darkened by terrorism, Advent is a time of hope. Come, Lord Jesus. 2 weeks ago, I had a few personal days free in Jerusalem. I went one morning to a Jewish study center called Esh HaTorah, Fire of the Torah, in the Old City, and I talked a while with one of the rabbis. This is not the rabbi, but this is the observation deck where the rabbi took me at his study, at the study center, overlooking the Temple Mount. Temple Mount being the large platform there where the Dome of the Rock is, where the temple once stood. This is the sacred precinct that Jesus knew. It's the space now occupied by a Muslim mosque and a Muslim shrine. What you see there in the gold is the Muslim shrine. Along with us on the rooftop came a young Orthodox man to pray. There he is. I asked his permission to take this picture. He stood there and he read the Torah. He's a man who reads the Torah day and night. He probably doesn't have a job, a regular job. He just prays and reads the Torah. And he himself will never go up on that platform you see in the distance his whole life, because he doesn't know where the Holy of Holies actually is, and he would be afraid that he might trip into the holy space. So devout Jews never go up onto the Temple Mount. Rain showers darkened Jerusalem that morning, as you can see maybe in the picture beyond the Golden Dome, the Dome of the Rock. And it seems that rain clouds darken much of the Near East and the Middle East, and at times our own world here. I asked Rabbi Seth what this space means to him. He said, this right here, what you're looking at, this is where creation started. This is where Adam and Eve were created. This is where Abraham sacrificed or prepared to sacrifice Isaac. This is where God is most present on this planet. This is where Messiah will come. The Temple Mount is the center of the universe, he said, the center of salvation. And this man praying is praying and reading the scriptures with a longing for the Messiah to come and for the temple to be rebuilt. Muslims call this space the noble sanctuary. Of course, they don't call it the Temple Mount. It's the noble sanctuary. It's where Muhammad went up to heaven for an overnight visit to be blessed by all the prophets and came back to earth, according to Islam. Christians remember this space, of course, as where Mary and Joseph presented Jesus as an infant in the temple, where Jesus upset the money tables, where Peter preached in the courtyard. So this space has deep spiritual significance for Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And these competing religions often compete. Devout Jews imagine that sometime, perhaps soon, Messiah will come and rebuild the temple where that golden dome is, which of course would mean an end to that structure and to the Muslim celebration there. So this is a point of great tension. Some Jews even have created some of the instruments that will go into the temple, and not far from this study center, on the street, encased in, I suppose, bulletproof glass, is a golden menorah, golden candlestick. It's huge, that someday they believe will go into the temple when Messiah comes. The yearning that Jews feel, devout Jews feel, for Messiah and for that Temple Mount has parallels in our lives. The Jews long for safety. They long for the presence of God to be more real in the world and in their lives. Jews long for healing from the deep wounds of Holocaust and anti-Semitism still rampant in our world. Muslims long for full access to Jerusalem. Paradoxically, Muslims control that Temple Mount, but not much else in Jerusalem. Muslims long for safety in the West Bank, where their own territories increasingly are being taken up by Jewish settlers. And we, in a country now facing terrorism afresh, long for safety and peace in our communities and an end to hatred between peoples. We long for wars to cease, this time of ceaseless war for our nation. We long for healing and holiness in the Mennonite church at a time of division. On a personal level, we yearn for restored relationships in families, for healing of our bodies, for an end to mental illness, for freedom from addiction or debt. This yearning turns us to God at Advent. Malachi is the last book of our Old Testament. We don't know much about Malachi. The name of the book, Malachi, simply means my messenger. It probably isn't even the name of the prophet. It's just he called himself my messenger. And he prophesied at the end of the Old Testament era, after Jews had come back from Babylon, and it was a time of discouragement and disillusionment. The temple had been rebuilt where that golden dome is today. A temple had been rebuilt there, but it was a poor shadow of the great temple of Solomon. Priests at the temple were lazy and corrupt. People who ignored God seemed to be flourishing. It was a confusing spiritual time, and devout Jews at this time longed for what they called the day of the Lord, a time they imagined when God would intervene in history to free his people from foreign rule, from corruption, a time when God would bring security and maybe bring back the glory days of King David, the way it used to be. Reality was pretty bleak compared to that vision of salvation. Modern Israel is a place of flourishing economy and culture. Fine highways, modern restaurants, shopping malls, high-tech manufacturing, and the arts. Israel also is a place of fear. Every Jewish Israeli, has relatives or acquaintances who died in the Holocaust 75 years ago. Several times since Israel was founded as a nation in 48, surrounding nations have tried and failed to destroy Israel. Heavily armed soldiers are everywhere in Jerusalem. I saw hundreds of assault rifles. And there's a wall several hundred miles long that divides the West Bank with Palestinian territory from Israel proper, where most of the Jews live. It's a wall of fear and actually represents something of the violence that's happened in the past. Some Israelis are moving into the West Bank and by force are establishing settlements in the land that the United Nations granted to the Palestinians. That's the root of the conflict now. Some 600,000 refugees, 600,000 settlers, they aren't refugees, 600,000 settlers have moved from Israel into Palestinian territory and have just filtered almost entirely through that part of the world with their weapons and taking the land of the Palestinians. Malachi said, a day of the Lord is coming. It will be like a refiner's fire. That is true for Israel. That is true for the Mennonite church. That is true in our lives. The day of the Lord, the coming of our God into our lives and our world, will be like a cleansing, refining fire. God will save and deliver, but we should not assume that God is on our side on everything we believe or everything we are doing. God is holy and just, and divine intervention will be accompanied by justice. Israel, I believe, has a special place in salvation history. It was the people of God's singular revelation. Israel has a covenant relationship with God, and covenant carries responsibilities to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. Covenant has responsibilities, and covenant can be broken if Israel or if we do not act justly. Covenant is not license for us or for Israel to do whatever we want. A refiner's fire, as Brent told us a few minutes ago, heats and it takes out the impurities so that the gold and the silver remains. The gold and silver that God has put into your life, the gifts and the calling and the image of God in you and in me. That's what God wants to restore in us and to take out the dross. A messenger will come, Malachi says. A messenger will come who will prepare the way for God's intervention. And at the very, very end of the book of Malachi, the prophet names him, the second to last verse. I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Elijah, that fiery prophet who went up on Mount Carmel and confronted the prophets of Baal and called Israel to singular allegiance and obedience to God. Elijah will return to prepare the way of the Lord, and it's clear from the New Testament text that Jesus and the early church understood John the Baptist to be fulfillment of that prophecy. Elijah will come. Someone in the tradition, the prophetic tradition of justice and of confronting idolatry will come. Malachi 3 verse 5, I will draw near to you for judgment, God says. I will be swift to bear witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, those who oppress the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord. Does any of that ring and echo reverberate in our time? Sorcery is magical manipulation of religion for our own ends, using spiritual power to control our own lives. And our society is full of sorcery today. Spirituality, where we pick and choose beliefs and techniques that we like, that fit our lifestyle or what our choices or our values, that fit that. Things that we like rather than coming under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Sorcery makes us into gods. Individualism that becomes idolatry. Malachi goes on to address economic and social justice issues. He speaks of those who swear falsely, perhaps dishonest business practices or lying in court. He speaks of those who oppress hired workers, possibly has something to do with a fair minimum wage in our country, or sweatshops in Bangladesh that make the cheap clothing that I'm tempted to buy. Malachi speaks of oppressing the widow and the orphan, and that might be an issue for us when health care most often is denied or is too expensive for women and children in this society. He speaks of God's anger at those who thrust aside the alien. We might hear that at a time when hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees who are not terrorists need homes. The coming of the Lord is good news for all who seek holiness and justice. Jewish people in Israel and Christian supporters of Israel in North America need to think through justice matters when Palestinians get pushed off their land. A day of the Lord is coming. In Jerusalem, I stayed for a week in a small hotel run by Palestinians. Didn't know that's what it was when I signed up there. It was just an affordable hotel. Everybody's Muslim. They were, the concierge was getting down, saying his prayers five times a day. And as the staff and residents learned to know me, and I learned to know them that week, they began to open up, began to realize that maybe I could be a friend. I felt the anger of Palestinian people being treated as second-class citizens. Even the Palestinians who live within Israel are clearly second-class citizens. We like you, they said, but we don't like your government. Another intifada is coming, they said. Another uprising is coming. We who know Messiah, who experience peace and healing, need the power of the Holy Spirit to align our lives with the high standard of the Sermon on the Mount, to speak and act for justice, to cleanse our own lives, or for God to cleanse our lives of the sin that distracts us from true service to God. The good news of Jesus is not that we finally become good enough to receive him. Doesn't work that way. The good news is that when we come to Christ and acknowledge our sorcery and sin, God forgives and restores. Holy living is part of being saved. Holy living is part of being saved. It's not a precondition for being saved. We don't get it together and then we're saved. We bring our broken and sinful selves to God and say, I repent. I want to live differently. Holy living, that is living aligned with the glory of God, is the most joyous way to be human. Malachi says at the end of his prophecy, chapter 4, verse 2, God speaking here, for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise. This is S-U-N, a new day. For you who revere my name, that is, who obey me, who orient your lives toward God, there's a new day coming. The Sun of Righteousness will rise. Could also be translated, the Sun of Justice will rise with healing in its wings. I was interested to see in the news this week that archaeologists just this week announced they found in a site in Jerusalem a seal from King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah's seal from the 8th century B.C. is a sun with wings. It's the sun with healing in its wings. It was a familiar symbol. Jews knew what this was. It was a symbol of life, of a new day, the power of God to restore and give us hope. Some people in Europe and the United States respond to terrorist attacks by rejecting refugees or by asking for more guns. How often do we hear anyone say, what the heck did we do to make people so mad at us? I mean, that is a question that politically you can't even ask. But it's a question that we must ask. Not to remotely justify anything that the terrorists do. Some killers are simply insane people. But others carry generational resentment against Western powers, including the United States, who at times in our history have acted with arrogance and greed in other parts of the world. We as a nation have repenting to do. We as Mennonite people have repenting to do. I, as a follower of Jesus, have repenting to do. Old Simeon, you recall, in the book of Luke, held the baby Jesus in the temple and said, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel." This child is a revolutionary. That's the definition of revolution. When things on top come down and things on the bottom go up. This child is destined for the rising of many and the falling of many in Israel. If you are suffering this Advent, it might be because of the sin of others. Might not be your fault at all. If you are suffering, it might be for reasons simply unknowable, like Job. No cause, it just happened. And some suffering is the result of our own sin. Whatever the cause, God wants to redeem and restore. Christ comes to us with authority to discern and judge, and with power to heal. He comes as a refiner's fire. We bring our brokenness, our fear, and our sin to God. Forgiveness is lavish and free. The Holy Spirit is present to heal and to give grace to endure the suffering that does not end soon enough. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Now receive this blessing, because the child, the prophet of the Most High, has prepared the way and has given knowledge of salvation and forgiveness of sins. So now, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Amen.